The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all. Let us rejoice in His holy name. Amen. We meditate this morning on a few verses from Jeremiah chapter 28. We read verses 5 through 9. Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of the Christ of Christmas, you're celebrating Christians. Why don't some people believe in Santa Claus? For many, it's because their parents told them all sorts of stories when they were little, and then they got older and found out something different. Why don't some people believe in Christmas? They listened with shining eyes as children. They heard the stories and grew up and went off to the university, and some professor told them something else. Other stories from other places. How can you believe in the Christ of Christmas if some professor tells you, "Oh yeah, it says all that, but then it also says that he died and rose again"? How does someone rise from the dead? And then they present the very scholarly swoon theory that Jesus just swooned in the grave and fainted, came back to life again when he felt the cool of the grave. Personally, I would like to see this demonstrated. I would like someone to show us how a man can be beaten for hours on end, mortally wounded, and nailed to a cross, and hang there for hours with blood streaming down from a crown of thorns. I would like to see them demonstrate the spear in his side and the blood and water gushing out. I would like to see them put that body in the grave and see it come to life again. And maybe one of those scholars would like to volunteer. Christmas. What do you dare to believe at Christmas? Do you dare to believe what God says, or do you just sit back and take what the scholars have said and figure man's mind has got it all together? Man's mind can figure out eternity. Oh yes, and how we got here and where we're going and what all this means. Oh, we can figure it out. All the philosophers, they all agree with each other, don't they? Oh, but then the prophets didn't agree with each other. No. That's why this text today, we're going to deal with that daring Christmas. I don't know what else to call it. It's daring Christmas. Because when you get right down to it, it all comes down to one word: peace. Who predicted peace? Daring Christmas. Is Christmas real? Or just something you heard about as kids and left behind in the days of adult wisdom? Just as I told you last evening, if you were here for the Christmas Eve service, this is another text that in 20 years of preaching, I passed by. Didn't know where it would fit. And the last place I ever dreamed would be Christmas morning. The children showed us Christmas through Isaiah's eyes last Sunday. We're seeing Christmas through Jeremiah's eyes last night and this morning. And those eyes were constantly filled with tears. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. 100 years after Isaiah prophesied, and things have gotten worse, totally bad in the time of Jeremiah. Lots of destruction and death and sorrow. How do you see Christmas through Jeremiah's eyes? Do you dare? Do you dare ask who prophesied peace with Jeremiah? The name of this prophet, Jeremiah, means Jehovah casts away, as near as we can tell. Sounds pretty deep, doesn't it? Wouldn't you rather listen to the other prophet named Hananiah? His name means Jehovah is gracious. God is loving. Now there's a message we like to hear. That message matches the man, just like Jeremiah matched his message. Jeremiah had just told these people, 600 years before Christ, that King Jehoiachin back in Babylonian captivity there, he'll stay there, he'll die there. And all the rest of the articles from the temple of the Lord will be deported to Babylon. The city and the temple will be destroyed. Ooh, that does not sound like Christmas, does it? Not a real good, hopeful message. Now, Hananiah, here's the generous one. Jehovah is generous. Jehovah is gracious. So Hananiah presents the counter prophecy just a few verses before our text. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, according to Hananiah. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now there's a message that's worth hearing, right? In just 2 years, it's all going to come true. Daring Christmas. Who prophesied peace? Hananiah. And it would only take 2 years to prove he was right. Isn't that the question? Who is that Christ of Christmas? Who brings the gifts? Is Christmas real? Have you heard about the Czech Republic and what they think about Christmas there since the time that the communists pretty much eradicated all of Christmas? Now, those communists, they all said, you know, we can have prosperity without God. We can just all be atheists. And so they forced it on a lot of those European countries, including the Czech Republic, primarily all atheists, Christmas practically eradicated from the entire nation, except this one tradition they just couldn't quite get rid of. This little baby named Jesus that always brings gifts to the children. In that formerly communist country, they still talk about this Jesus bringing presents for the children. They have displays all over the country. They just don't know who he is. They don't know what the missionaries now are stepping up to tell them, that Jesus that brings the gifts, that's God's son. He is God's gift. Come down from heaven to bring us God himself, to be one of us, our brother, our savior, our friend. Ah, there's something to work with in the baby Jesus that brings the presents. Over here, do you believe in Santa Claus? Christians are daring to fight back. In my email, I saw this. They're fighting back with Santa Claus. The story of Santa Claus knocking on your door, and you open it, and he says, shh, because you're ready to cry out, what are you doing here? And he's got these tears streaming down his eyes. And he says, tell the children what Christmas is really all about. And from his bag, he starts to pull out some things. This is Santa's bag. So he pulls out a tree. And he points to the tree and he says, look, it's always green, and it points to heaven. And from his bag, he pulls out a star. And look, the star that shone and shined the way to Jesus in the manger. Look at these wonderful symbols. Tell the children The tree is always green to remind us of everlasting life. Look at the Advent wreath in a circle that reminds us of the unending joy and love of Jesus. The candle that reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world shining into this dark place and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the Christ of God. Remember the holly with the thorns that remind us of the crown of thorns and those red berries reminding us of the blood of Jesus shed to wash our sins away. Look at the candy cane designed by a candy maker in the hook of a shepherd's staff to remind us of the good shepherd who seeks his sheep and brings them back to his flock. There's so much you can learn if you just know the symbols of Christmas. But do you dare to ask, is it real? Do you dare to ask who prophesied peace before Hananiah got hold of the false prophecy? 100 years before Jeremiah, 700 years before the event, the first Christmas, Isaiah said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That Prince of Peace, the Jewish Tsar Shalom, is the one who ended the war between sinners like us with all the filthy things we think and say and do, all the good we leave undone, the war that we caused because of our sins. This Tsar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, has ended by coming to wash those sins away with his holy precious blood. If the scholars never thought of it, that's another good reason to believe it. It's exactly what the Bible tells us. Man cannot conceive of this. We don't dream this up. None of the other religious books talk about this. God sending a Savior. God promised it centuries before it happened. Who prophesied peace? Whose prophecy comes true? Do you dare to ask a daring Christmas? Personally, and I believe that Jeremiah would agree with this, I prefer the real stories of St. Nicholas, the one that they spun off into Santa Claus. There was actually a man named Nicholas who lived back in the 3rd century in what is now Turkey. He was an orphan child with very wealthy parents who died and left him a lot of money. And they had taught him about the Christ of Christmas. And so for his life, he was constantly saying amen to the Christ of Christmas. He preferred, by God's grace, to proclaim Christ as born and living and dying for our sins and rising again for our justification. He proclaimed the Christ of Christmas by word and deed. That Nicholas, the Bishop of Myra, as he's become known, did his work in a way that said amen to Christmas with bags of money thrown through open windows of poor people who needed it. Or they talk about putting coins in people's shoes, just knowing that they'd find them there eventually and that they needed that. That was St. Nicholas. And you know, Christmas was not any more popular with the Roman government at that time than when Jeremiah tried to tell people about the coming Christ or any of the prophets. Nicholas was thrown in prison by that cruel emperor named Diocletian, one of the last really awful persecutions against the Christians. And he spent some time there with other bishops and pastors in prison, so crowded with bishops and priests and pastors, there wasn't any room for the criminals. Finally released, went back to his life of saying amen to the Christ of Christmas, and would much rather have us know the real story behind all the symbols, the Christ of Christmas, and what it all means for us. Can you say amen to that? That old, old word, you know, if you translate amen from the Hebrew into the Greek, you know what it is? Amen. You know what amen is in Chinese? Amen. Every language says it the same way. If you listen to a Chinese service, you can pick out when they say amen and hallelujah. Because those old words are known by all Christians as solid, true, certain. Amen. There's a foundation under that is what amen means. And that foundation is solid and true because the prophets said it would happen. And so it did. So Jeremiah had to answer Hananiah. He said, "Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true." 2 years is what Hananiah said. Jeremiah, in the verses that follow, gave Hananiah 2 months. He said, "You prophesied lies in the name of the Lord. The Lord says, this year, you die." 2 months later, according to the word of the Lord, Hananiah the prophet died. Does God's word come true? Do I want to oppose that word of God? Would I rather listen to the prophets like Jeremiah, who said something about the coming of Christmas just a few chapters before when he said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." If you've got half a brain, and I trust we all do, if you've got any sense of conscience at all, there are those days when you feel like you're so up against it, when you are really troubled in your heart about things that you ought to be doing and just can't seem to get done. The Christian you ought to be, the father or mother, son or daughter, student or worker that you ought to be that you are not. The church worker, the pastor, the parent, the child. And when you're honest with yourself, you see at least that little bit of your failures. Do you trust, do you dare to trust the Christ of Christmas and say amen to Jeremiah's prophecy that he would be the Lord our righteousness? 600 years later, he came, he lived, he died, he rose again, and this same Holy Scriptures of the Bible says that he was given over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. In Bible terms, that means God declared you and the entire world not guilty. Righteous in God's sight. Just believe it. Don't say no in unbelief. Unbelief is the only sin that's left now that Christ's blood washed away all the others. Unbelief is the only sin that damns. Jesus says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." Say amen to the Christ of Christmas in your life. Can you do that even in hard times? Even when life is so difficult, when the reports are nothing but doom and gloom out there? Could you say amen to the Christ of Christmas if you were living in a foreign country as a slave or an exile? The chapters after this one, Jeremiah 29 and following, some precious words, probably the most famous ones from Jeremiah. In a letter to the exiles, the Lord said through Jeremiah, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." Such sweet words. Such grace from a generous God who would give his one and only Son to be the Savior of all, even for people who would reject him in unbelief. And still he died for all, and still he died for you. What a generous God that would give the holiness that he demands and throw heaven's gates wide open and then tell us how we can live, even in hard times. Take the Lord's advice. This prophet's words come true. He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Trust. Trust the Lord's promise to prosper you in his own wonderful way with blessings that you can never imagine, even peace and joy and hope and wisdom. Blessings that can't be bought in the store. Money can't purchase these. Trust and pray for your country, because the Lord says, if it prospers, so will you. Trust in the Lord's promise and his invitation. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. If so much of this is new to you, or if you've doubted it in the past, the window is open to your heart today. The Lord brought you here to hear this word of God. Don't turn away in stubborn unbelief. Turn back to the Christ of Christmas and say, Amen. God, you must be smarter than I am. After all, you are eternal. You must know things I could never imagine or ever come up with, and a way to live a life that begins here in time and goes on forever with the Christ of God in eternity. And even if you feel like the weeping prophet and eyes filled with tears, this Christmas word of God, daring Christmas, would have to tell you, Jeremiah, dry your eyes. Celebrate the Christ of Christmas. Amen.